Hello and welcome to the Ebony POV, a podcast that talks about everything in the Big Brother universe from an ebony point of view. I'm your host, Michael B., and I'll be here to discuss everything Big Brother, from the fights to the competitions to the house guests and to the strategies, and give a perspective from an African American's point of view. Thank you for joining us, and we can't wait to get started with and talk about everything Big Brother. All right, so here we are for our second ever Monday live feed update. And after a relatively boring week for the live feeds, the Ebony POV is proud to announce that Monday's live feeds were nothing but boring. There was backtalk and backtalk everywhere. Fake alliances here, fake alliances there, you know, people discovering who people really are everywhere. It was a lot of fun. It was very, very hard to keep up with a lot of the things that were going on strategy wise. And what's funny is I would say that not necessarily a whole lot has changed, because right now we're at a point now that, just like last week, we're biding time until the Thursday eviction. And because of the way the house is now, you'll see a lot of possibility talks. Well, if I'm HOH, I'll do this. If I'm not HOH, I'll do this. This is who I really want to play with. This is who I don't really want to play with from now on. But it's still basically we're in the biding time, treading water stage until the eviction. But let's go ahead and talk about the highlights before we get into the summaries of what happened yesterday on the live feeds. All right, so here are some of the highlights that happened yesterday on the live feeds on August 17th. Obviously, let's get with the main thing first. Even though it was pretty much a done deal, we had to see, of course, whether the POV would be used by Memphis, who won it early Sunday morning. And of course, the POV was not used, which means at this point, the nominees will remain the same. David from Big Brother, both David and Nicole Anthony from Big Brother 21, and one of them will be going home. At this point, with the way that votes are locked, I believe that David will be staying. Even though now that everything is official and these two friends have to actually for real go against each other in order to stay in the house, because they do both want to stay in the house, we're definitely going to see how these people will play, especially David. I do believe David should be the one that should be laying low. He shouldn't be aggressive because people are voting in response to Memphis to keep him. Most of them are. So I would ride with that and just make sure, keep checking in and make sure our votes are secured and locked so we can have the votes to stay. Nicole A definitely has to play more aggressive. She is playing from defense. Even though Memphis was aggressive toward her too, it's not in the same manner. After that, certain people have distrusted her from the get. You know, Mitch David is more like a blank slate, a fresh meat, if you will, and more usable. So she has to realize that in order to stay, and she needs to try to play up to those strengths, talk to the people. She needs to play more with herself and be more aggressive herself instead of depending on others to help fight for her. And that's where they are. But like I said, if they would have been voting yesterday, David would have easily stayed. Like I said, they still have up until Thursday night in order to do it. So we don't want to predict yet. The problem is, even though the house may be split in favor of David, I also predict it's going to be a house vote. So even though the house may be split and vote to David in order to quote unquote cover themselves, I think it's going to be a unanimous vote, which for me, it almost doesn't make sense. If you already know that it's going to be split, you might as well let it be split, because most people aren't fooling anybody. But we'll see what happens with Nicole and Nicole A and David. Like I said, David should be staying, but you know, it's Big Brother. Expect the unexpected. too. Again, we have more talk last night, well, yesterday with Cody and Bay Day. And I say Cody versus Bay Day. It's like Cody is really on this Janelle hate train, and therefore he's hating Devon, and you know, in addition to that, which I don't really get. Cody and Devon would be great. Should continue to be great teammates. And it looks like, you know, him being almost 30 years old, I think he definitely wants to be on a challenge and wants to use his connections with Devon and Bailey in order to do that. If Josh and Casey would have been on, he probably would have leaned on them more in order to be on the challenge. But that's not what happened. But I do believe part of his goal not only is to do well in this game, but try to get on the challenge, which I believe, you know, I think they pay more stipend wise, and it would actually help him get more volume to stay on there, because if you do challenges like his brother, you can do them multiple times, even though I haven't seen Paulie on a challenge lately. And with everything gone with COVID, they'll probably be wanting to reset some things. So we'll see what happens with that. But not to get off to the point, like I said, it's kind of weird why Cody is distrusting. It seems like he trusts Devon less, more than he even trusts Janelle, even though Janelle is his target and Janelle is the reason that he has distrust for Devon. At the same time, last night, they ended up trying to really solidify this other alliance that we've talked about. As you know, Cody and Enzo are in a two-man alliance called The Root, and they have an alliance called The Core Four with Danny D and Nicole F. And then, an extension of that, you have Connect Four. You have the alliance, no, excuse me, you have the alliance with those four, with Tyler and Memphis. And then on the other side of that, here you have Connect Four, where they have Bay and Day in. And now they've solidified alliance with Bay and Day and Tyler and Daniel, and calling it the Slick Six, which is, I like the name. I think it's a fake alliance, but I like the name. But I also like the fact that Cody is still trying to work with Bailey and Devon. It's going to help him. Him turning against Bailey and Devon is not going to look good inside the house or outside the house. So whatever beef he has with Janelle, let it be with Janelle, not let it be with Devon. Because it seemed like there was some kind of test that they did some kind of telephone to see if information would get back to Devon, and it did. And now there's more animosity there. But Cody and Devon, at least in my opinion, need to actually work together in order to get farther in this game. Not that it matters, like I said, I'm more Team Devon than I am Team Cody, but that little thing is kind of like the wedge there. But what's interesting about that, the person that they could probably take advantage and use this wedge between this scoring wedge between Cody and Devon is not Janelle, but Tyler. Especially considering he can insert and work with Tyler and Bay and Day in order to get farther in the game. Like I said, with Cody and Tyler basically occupying the same space, that's going to come to a head eventually, and I personally can't wait to see it. But the other quote-unquote alliance that formed yesterday, or at least was in the making yesterday, was the foursome of Bay Day and Janelle and Kazar. Now, these four is something that the fans would love, just because these are now four fan favorites, and if they work together and were the final four at the end of the game, people would love it. There would be people that hate, but people would love that. And they had talks all yesterday, but we all know Janelle and Bailey love each other. Former pageant queens, they love each other. We can't wait to see what they're going to be like outside of the house. So that's a given. It's really more how much trust Kazar can have with Bailey and Devon. It's really the Kazar part that's probably stopping them. It's not like they don't like Kazar, but they realize that of the two, they obviously want to work more with Janelle than they would work with Kazar, but they still on a personal level love Kazar. Kazar and Bailey have good talks. Kazar and Devon have great talks, both strategy and personal. The only hiccup was when they talked about how Davon was going to vote for David simply because he was a black man, that he told Nicole Anthony that she's not going to, that she's not going to vote for her to stay. And Kesar and Davon had a, well, Davon said it was a full-blown argument. I would say it was more like a, I don't even want to say heated discussion, but I would say intense discussion. Kesar's not one of those people that you know, in my opinion, would even in real life would be one to really raise his voice and yell in the first place. He would always have an even tone of his voice, but even with his tone, you can tell if he was really angry or not. But he would never have loud, bombastic voice. Even when he's really, really mad, he would have that quiet madness where, you know, sometimes his silence would be more hurtful than his actual words. But then he'd also have the one, because he's intelligent and, you know, and verbose and has a big vocabulary, he would probably know how to do pointed words if he was angry at you. So, and maybe Dave picked up on that. But in the end, they, you know, Kesar and Davon, you know, love each other personally, and I think they'd be great together. But that's the thing that most Twitter fans were talking about. I don't know if it's going to officially gel, though. At the same time, in my opinion, I don't think it has to. We all know that Kesar and Janelle is a duo. We all know that Bayday is a duo. They don't have to officially have an alliance in order to work together. They know that because they're two duos, that they're obviously targets because of that. Obviously, with Kesar and Janelle, a much, much, much bigger target than the Bayday duo. But they can still loosely work together without having an official alliance. But you know, the fans would love them to be a official alliance and you know, and officially work together. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But at least where they are now, at least of yesterday, and for what I've seen in the comments in the early morning, I think, like I said, these two duos are going to work together and they're going to be dangerous to everybody else. And if either one of them win, either one of the duos win HOH, the other duo should be safe at least for next week. So that's good. And of course, the number four thing that happened on Monday is that everyone still hates Memphis. I'm sorry, Memphis, the way he did the POV, I still want to talk about it. I still think it's stupid the way he did it. The way he talked to him, the way he set it up, the way he didn't talk to his quote-unquote alliance members about his plan in order to show his cards being more selfish for his own game than the games of other people. And I think it's just a great big folly, and it's going to calm down now. And I think it's going to be interesting. We're going to actually pay attention to this for the next few days to see how many people really talk with Memphis for next week. Because now that he's, even though he won HOH, he won POV, now that he's used all the power that he's had this week, his HOH is none. It's a possibility that he'll be non-existent in the feeds, non-existent not in the show because they have the Wednesdays and Thursday show, but, you know, non-existent in the conversations. Now, he's been having this HOH-itis where he's had a locked door. He complains about people cleaning and, you know, people can't use his shower. I think right now, he may realize that now that he's HOH, ain't nobody's going to want to really talk much with him because you're done. What do we need to talk to you for? You can't win it 2 weeks in a row. And even though you have safety, it's a possibility that you could be safe next week. In the end, it's like, why would people want to talk to you? And once he realizes that, he'll probably try to be nice and realize that he effed up. But we'll see what happens. But I still like the fact that nobody wants to work with Memphis. Like, I am excited to see certain people possibly win HOH next week, because if they do, they will take him out. And it will be an easy target. And since a lot of the alliances that he's in, he's an extra number, they can cut him off in dead weight. So I'm personally excited to see that. I mean, nothing against Memphis. I'm sure he's a nice guy in real life. But the way he plays his game, yes, he needs to be you know, taking down a few pegs and nothing else. He needs to be back on slop, and it should be David's doing, provided that David stays in the house. As a matter of fact, I think if Nicole stays in the house, she should do that too. Make Memphis a have not. Even if she's trying to go after Janelle, which she still is, unfortunately, she's still throwing him off a scent by going after Memphis and putting him back on slop. And then that could be a running theme, that because Memphis acted a fool during his HOH reign, he ends up getting on slop every other week with no slop pass. That'll hum him up a little bit. But that's the main highlights that happened on the feeds yesterday. Like I said, there was a whole lot of talk, a whole lot of side conversations. Part of the one person that we probably didn't see much of on the feeds, in my opinion, was Nicole Franzel. But she still had some moments where she was talking about Janelle. But we had a lot of talking with people, like only real ones solidifying of alliance. But like I said, now that the HOH and POV is done, we'll definitely get to see some more talk about alliances and strategies as people plan for next week, while at the same time deciding who they're going to vote out, whether it be David or Nicole A. So that's it for the highlights. Let's go ahead and get into the rankings. So the rankings for the bottom four for up to yesterday have not changed, even though there's different reasons why they're still in the same position that they are. So at number 15, we have Memphis. I don't have really to go much into this, just that Memphis is, by winning the POV and being, you know, as arrogant and egotistical as he has been with his HOH-itis, you know, is in one of the worst positions next week. Yes, he has the VIP status card to try and keep himself off the block without needing a veto. But the point is that he's lost so much trust between the rest of his alliance and the people that he already had enemies are starting to gun for him. He's in a worse spot, almost in the worst spot, as the worst spot as the two nominees that are still on the block, with one of them leaving Thursday. But I guess the most interesting about Memphis, in my opinion, Memphis has played this HOH the way he and probably other Big Brother 10 house guests thought that Brian would play the HOH if he won, which is why they got rid of him as the first boot. That's how I believe that Memphis is playing. He is playing how it would perceive that Brian would have played, which I think is very interesting to me. But it's not like Memphis can't climb out of this spot, but now, even especially because he doesn't realize it, he is now playing from the bottom. Speaking of people that don't realize things, at number 14 we have Nicole Anthony, who is definitely playing from the bottom at this point, is definitely the one that will be going home out of the two. Again, we still have until Thursday. Anything can happen. But at this point, she's not doing herself any favors by, you know, working her games and her pleas off of misinformation about hating Janelle, because it's going to come back. As the fact that she's thinking about doing a house meeting, if she feels by Wednesday that she doesn't have the votes. Today, of course, is Tuesday. So tomorrow could be this quote-unquote house meeting, which, as a feed watcher, I can't wait to see, especially considering that she's playing off information. But as someone who still likes Nicole Anthony, I'm like, I don't want her to blow up her game and both her future games. Because if Nicole Anthony is young enough and still popular enough that she could come back as a returnee, if not for another All-Star in maybe an All-Stars 3. But people will remember this when she does. In my opinion, Nicole Anthony should have came back at the house guest so soon. As a competition host, yes. But I think it would have been great for her to actually podcast her first season after she played, since she is a podcast host. I think people would have loved her more. She would have gotten more status with people and then come back. But I mean, if you play and you get that close to actual finale night and go out third, and you get to call not only to come back, but to be considered an All-Star, of course you play. I can't blame her for that. But with the way the reeds going this house, she came back to so much love from the beatdown that she received from last season. Now it's going to be exact opposite when she goes home, that she's going to come back and not be so loved. And I feel sorry for her. I hope that her best friend slash co-host, Eric, is able to kind of help prep her for that, as well as her family and friends, because it's not going to be fun for her going out of the house. And I believe she will be going to house this Thursday. Like I said, it's not Thursday yet. She still has a couple of days to pull some things and actually learn what's really going on and help save her game. But at this point, I think she is almost dead in the water. And one of the reasons she's almost dead in the water is her best friend in the house, number 13, Kevin. Kevin is so frustrating. He's playing the way I thought he would be playing, but he's playing it in the worst possible way. He is feeding Nicole A. this bad information about Janelle, but at the same time turning around and then making it look like it's Nicole A. that's going crazy, and that it's not coming from him, but it is. Now, part of me thinks that he thinks that this will help set him up as a quote-unquote non-factor, help him sleep through the game until mid-game. But once this blows up and they realize that Kevin's been causing this misinformation, not just with Nicole A, but with other people like Devon and with other people that's close with, possibly Ian, even though I don't think Ian believes Kevin, is setting him up for a fall. Again, I think he will be safe next week. I think week four is the first week without the safety suite is the one that he needs to worry about, because he's not doing himself any favors, and the fact that most people are seeing him and Nicole A as a pair. Nicole A leaving because of his misinformation will be looked bad upon. The only thing that can save him into that fact is the fact that if they do feel threatened with Nicole A and Kevin as a pair, once Nicole A leaves, that threat level goes down a little bit. But I do believe he's really playing the worst outside of the two that I mentioned, and that's why they're at the bottom for this podcast. All right, so let's get into the struggle four, and let's get right into it with number 12, Nicole Franzel. Now, Nicole Franzel is in an interesting position, because I don't believe she's going home next week. Even if her worst case scenario in Janelle or Kesar win HOH, I don't believe she's going home next week. I do believe at this point she does have votes to stay if she's on the block. However, more and more people, not just Janelle and Kesar, are starting to distrust her more because of the move that Christmas made. It is more clear now that not only does she have a deal with Cody going on, she also has a deal with Ian going on, and it's not being hidden well. Well, let's be honest, it's not being hidden at all, to be 100% real. And because of her tensions with Nicole Anthony, even though she may be leaving this week, and her tensions with Janelle make her to be an easy sacrificial lamb. Like, let's buy myself another week, throw Nicole Franzel to the wolves, let her cry her way onto the block and out the door. She still has some moves that she can make, but she's starting to box herself in and not being able to be fluid and be insulated like she has been in her previous seasons, even in season 16 when she left twice. But like I said, she needs more help. She, unfortunately, Victor's not in the house, and she wants to be faithful to him, so she can't have another showman to try and hide behind. And the people that she thinks are her friends in the house are not really her friends, so she really needs to find other avenues to get there. Now, Nicole can win competitions when she wants to, so that may be the way to do it. She can start by next week by winning the safety suite. Who she picks to be safe, we'll see what happens. But speaking of the safety suite, we have to talk about number 11, Christmas. Like I said, in my opinion, Christmas's move to save Ian hurt Nicole F more than hurt her, but it still put her in a bad spot because it was against the Alliance's wishes, even though the Alliance didn't discuss with her who they would save if one of them wins the HOH competition. Now, I promise you they will have that discussion between now and Thursday, so they'll know if the people that are now eligible to pay, like if you win, you need to save this person, or you don't need to save us to cover their tracks. But because she did that, she also lost a lot of trust within people, especially people that she's supposedly in an alliance with. As the fact that with her win, she's gotten a bit more, shall we say, more braggish. A lot like the BB19 Christmas that we know and unfortunately did not like. But she's in a struggle for it. She's not at the bottom. Like I said, I don't believe that she's in less trouble next week than Nicole Franzel. But Christmas could be a also nom. Like, Christmas could be a person that could be seen that you don't get a lot of blood on your hands if you nominate her and she goes. But we'll see how she plays out. She definitely needs to get more social and strategic bonds with people outside of her six-person alliance that she's in. I mean, she thinks she has some ends with Ian, because since she saved her, he does owe her a favor. Ian is one of those persons that he'll pay it if he feels it benefits him. If it doesn't, he'll let it go. But we'll see what happens. At number 10, we have Danny Donato Briones. She, like Nicole Franzel, has gained a lot of distrust in this past week. She's been seen double dealing. She's been seen talking to different people, telling people different things. Unlike Nicole Effort, though, I do think she's a lot more insulated and a lot less trouble this week, even though I do believe she's in the struggle for and she needs to make some more different moves because her lies and her actions are starting to catch up with her. Now, the worst case scenario for a lot of people in the house is Janelle and Case are becoming HOH. That's not her worst case scenario. Danny would not get nominated, even though Janelle and Kesar has shown more distrust of Danny Donato. I still believe that Kesar and Janelle have this old school mentality, so they won't nominate the person that played, even as young as she is, that played after the first All-Star season. I think she'll be okay next week. She also has the VIP suite if she feels she's not okay next week. So I don't see her living. But if she's continuing to play the same way without seeing the blind spots. So this week she'll be okay. Next week she should be okay. By week four she definitely needs to be more attentive, or she'll have to comp her way out, which she's done before. She made all the way to Final Two doing that in BB8 in her initial season, but she definitely needs to socially and strategically needs to be more slicker with it. It's basically for a lack of a better word. And speaking of people who are slick with it, well, let's go to number 9, Cody. Now you're probably thinking, why should I have Cody in the struggle for? Nobody's coming after him. He has good bonds with people. He has a kind of a good secret solitude with Memphis, a good secret solitude with Enzo, and a good secret solitude with Danny Donato. The problem is that old Califlory anger has now come out more, and it's come out against the person that he shouldn't be talking to, which is Davon. And now Davon is seeing the connections that she has, talk to Bailey, which means eventually, if Kesar and Janelle are in power, may share those connections with them next week if one of them wins HOH. And since they are suspected anyway, he could be going on the block. Now it's Cody. Him going on the block could easily mean Cody winning HOH. That's not the issue. The problem with that is winning another competition this early in the game puts another target on his back. And again, you know, it is my opinion, I always feel like the main problem is the casting of this season, that Cody and Tyler share the same space, and eventually they're going to go head in head. And Tyler is definitely a lot more insulated than Cody perceives, or anybody in the house perceives. And if it was Cody and Tyler, Tyler would win, and ideally Cody will go out before Tyler. I 100% believe that. They will not let, just like they're not letting winners go farther, there's certain runner-ups they will not let go to the end to give them a chance to redeem themselves. And Cody is one of those people. But like I said, I don't expect him to be in too much trouble next week. However, the game is playing a lot more around him than he perceives it to be. He is not the center He is not the epicenter of the game, not even close. He's the epicenter of a lot of alliances, but not of the game itself. And he's letting his blind spot, specifically with Danny Donato, obscure him from that fact. And that's why I have him at the top, but still in the struggle four. All right, so let's talk about the undercover four. Like I said, this is the four that will probably see change a lot along with the struggle four within the next 3 days, because we're in that treading water part of the week where we're basically just waiting until Thursday to happen. There's only so much really they can talk about and do and plan for, and they won't know how to react until they get to the actual eviction, and then however the HOH is going to go. So let's go ahead with the undercover four, and we have at number eight, David. So again, I believe David to be the one staying. I think people are wanting to use David later in the game, which possibly could set him up for later weeks. He has not been too confrontational with his words. He has had some flip-ups, but he's still allowing the play dumb to be there. I think people are wanting to lease David to go far because it makes them feel good about themselves. They don't expect him to win. He is definitely at a sleeper level right now. That's why I have him at the underdog four. He's gained with a lot of sympathy with the audience because of what Memphis has said to him. And he's gained sympathy with the people in the house. And right now, it's just for him, if he stays this week, again, it's still not Thursday yet. Anything can happen. If he stays this week, he won't be bothered a while. I definitely believe now David can make jury. Now, what he does while he makes jury, while people are sleepy on him, will be up to him. He really needs to look back and observe and see who he wants to help him, who he wants to help, and who he needs to take out to really solidify his game. Fortunately, he has one of the most connected people looking out for him, Tyler. So the number one thing was, don't piss Tyler off. That would be my advice to David. And that's, but right now, despite the fact that he is still on the block, after the POV was not used, he is in one of in the better positions in the house. Now, his goal would be to capitalize on that. Which brings me to number seven, Ian. I don't think Ian knew that he was in any type of trouble this week. He probably thought that his, you know, the way that he acted the first week, you know, being full of anxiety and, you know, kind of just being back in this house, back in the Big Brother house and not into his stable life. It probably threw him for a loop, but now you can see he's starting to get his bearings. You know, we saw the punishment that Ian had, and I think is actually helping him build social bonds with people that he wasn't talking as much with before. So I think that's great for him. We definitely saw a thing, you know, with you know, Ian and Devon getting closer because he had to perform skits. And Devon being now an official acting coach, you know, helping Ian with his skits, which helps him build that Devon bond with Bay and Day. We see him yesterday having a good talk with Kazar, even though it seemed like they were trying to outsmart each other in the conversations. In the end, basically, the gist of it was, like, we know we have to come at each other eventually, but we both have bigger targets, so let's go ahead and work together now. And, like, the end of the conversation, like, I feel like now that we both know that we're smart enough that we can work together until we need to go after each other. Like I said, Ian is brilliant and smart and the one winner, in my opinion, they didn't want to play in this game would be Ian, I think, because, you know, he's a super fan who's learned from the best. Like, he beat Dan. He studied earlier seasons, like Janelle and Kesar, like one of his favorite plays of all time, beats Danielle Reyes with season 3. He knows how some of these people go and how some of these moves are going to be made. And even though some more comp-driven Big Brother now, strategically, he's on a level that most people aren't. There's a reason why he won, and there is a good reason why he could win again. Like I said, his path there is not set yet, but Christmas saving him will work wonders. And now it may have given the idea that he wasn't as safe as he thought. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ian really tries for the HOH next week and gets it. And it will be interesting to see who he puts up if he does. However, the flip side of that is, I don't think Ian is ready to show all of his cards yet. He's always been, I only show my real cards when I need to. Besides keeping Nicole F safe as a backup, knowing that he probably has the best chance if another winner is there beside him, there's still the factor that he really hasn't shown much of his cards yet. But I do believe he is in one of the better positions of his house. And if he knows now that he could have been in trouble, he'll definitely start making more rounds with people to make sure that he can build off of that. So let's talk about number six, Janelle. Now, Janelle has dropped a little bit in my rankings, just because even if it's irrational, more people are coming after her. More people want to put her in the spotlight to be on the block. Like I said, some of the reasoning doesn't make sense, and some is off information, but still, Janelle's Janelle. If misinformation is still making you a target, it can still get you out of the house, even if the information is absolutely wrong. Ask Bailey. That being said, the inroads that she made with other people like Bailey, like Davon, like Danny Donato, should keep her safe possibly this week. No one is really going to sacrifice their game for her, with the exception of Kazar, but she's still, considering that we all considered her dead in the water last Thursday, like as soon as she got out of the competition, like, well, by Janelle Kazar, we thought that, but then not only did they survive, you know, the initial eviction, they survived POV. And like I said, it does depend on who wins HOH next week. And in the end, only one could leave, and there's a possibility, because of the way things work, the HOH, if they put Janelle and Kesar up and one gets off the block, however they do it, the HOH could be defied and both of them could stay in the game, and God help them if they win HOH that following week. But like I said, at least on individually, I think Janelle's playing a great social game to where, yes, she's Janelle, but she's not quite as much as trouble as you would think. Just because you have to have the cojones to really go directly against Janelle and survive. Simple as that. And that's why I have her at number six. And number five is her best friend in Big Brother life, Kesar. Like I said, I am impressed with the fact they found a way to immediately get themselves out of danger this week and possibly get them out of danger next week. Like I said, they're still the top two targets for this week, but if they could have made sure Memphis and Cody wouldn't argue to put them up, I think they can work the game enough to at least survive another week. So that's why they're not as dead in the water next week, even though they are unquestionably the biggest targets next week. Specifically, Kesar, we're talking with Ian, and specifically making this point to talk with people like Ian and Nicole and Nicole A and Bay and Day and David. Like, talking with the quote-unquote underdogs would be what saves both of them next week. Because if the underdog men say, we're not going to defy the HOH, they will not have the votes. Which works that way, because he's building the votes to where he doesn't need Janelle to vote with him. If they can build the votes with the people outlying the house, that have no problem defying the HOH. It doesn't matter how much of these alliances are out there. They could do it. It could work. And definitely sets up the big move. We're definitely going to possibly see Cody's team, depending on how it looks, versus Janelle and Kesar, which I love, because it does keep certain people safe in that point. But that's who I have at the underdog four. Alright, so we're back at the top of the list with the Fantastic Four, so let's get right into it. And number four, we have Enzo. Now, this is the first time I've had Enzo in the Fantastic Four. I like Enzo's game to a certain extent. I like the fact that he's the funny guy. I like the fact that he has tried his best to try and have social world equity with everybody. Enzo does believe he's a lot more connected than he actually is, but because he's not anybody's immediate target, and now he's proven that he can win top comps. He is definitely the sleeper of this Fantastic Four. I do think, unlike Memphis, unlike Cody, that even though Enzo, I believe, definitely has a temper, he knows how to keep it more in check this go round of playing than he did in BB12. So I like where he's at the game. Right now he's definitely involved in this war between Cody's team and Kesar and Janelle's team. He could be a casualty in the fact that he may end up on the block, you know, but he's not anybody's immediate target. He still has a safety suite, so he's probably the one person who could play the safety suite and save somebody, regardless of who it is, and get away with it. And that's why I have him at the bottom of Fantastic Four. I think he's playing a great game. Again, because of his reads and house and how he's not really as connected as he should be, he probably will not stay there, but at least for this Treadwater part of the week, where we're just waiting until eviction, I think he's in a good spot. I think he needs to ride out until the HOH competition on Thursday and the eviction. He doesn't need to let everybody know his plans. Like, he trusts Cody most in the house. That's the only person I don't think he should tell 100% of his plans to, because Cody won't spill it. Beyond that, he should just be old fun old Enzo, being social with everybody. But I do like where he's at the house right now. Number three, I have Davon. So with kind of the rumblings that we had for the weekend and specifically yesterday, I've dropped Davon a little bit. But like I said, in the end, nobody really wants to strike at Davon for obvious outside reasons and obvious big house reasons. Like, she can get you information that no one else can. People trust her. People still, even people that don't necessarily trust her as much, even they have no reason to, people still like her. Really, the only really thing that's really putting, you know, bad taste in people's mouth is the fact that she is close with Bailey. And people should expect that, because people already expect that. They've been friends for years, ever since Bailey entered Big Brother world in BB20, which it actually wasn't the case. They feel like they've probably been talking forever, but that's really not the case. But to a lesser extent, like Kesar and Janelle, they're always going to be seen as a duo, so they should just ride with that and not feed into it, but not really deny it either, because nobody's going to believe that. That being said, like, she has worked well to have relationship with Kesar. She's done stuff to her with Ian while he's doing the punishment, which she'll remember that. She is, even though she is trusting Nicole Franzo less and less, she is still working with Nicole F enough to where Nicole F not turned on her and make her a target. So that's good. She's good with Enzo. The probably one of people she's probably least close in the house is Memphis. Cody expresses trust because of her relationship with Janelle, but once that officially comes to a head and they actually target each other, he's going to want to use Davon to get Janelle out the house. So that's why I'm not worried about that yet. And of course, we talked about the Slick Six really solidifying their bonds. I do think Cody thinks it's a good look to work with Davon, but she's not going to be in trouble next week. I think she's also going to be a safe pick. And here's something people haven't discussed. I think she's going to be a safe pick for any of the other people that are in Memphis's and Cody's alliance. She's a safe pick to save if they win. So instead of saving each other, they may save Davon or Bailey to make themselves look good, which is great. Now, I think that's a great look. I think if they haven't thought of that, and I think if they probably have, that's what they should do. Pick somebody safe, just like Christmas thought she was picking somebody safe with Ian. They're going to pick Bay and Day, because pick somebody that you know that you're really not going to be able to get out of the house anyway, and that's really not your target, which is Bailey and Davon, and also help throw off the scent. So I think Day is definitely still good at number three. And number two, I have Tyler. Oh yeah, you really thought I was going to have Tyler at number one. I'm sorry. You know, I can't have Tyler at number one because it's Tyler. But, like, I can't really deny him more. He's playing a good game. Like I said, there's still some cracks in there. But, like, he's insulated more than people think he is. And if he keeps David like they plan to, like he'll have David as a solid number, have Bailey as a solid number. He's getting Davon as a solid number. And he'll still have his connections through the alliances with Enzo and Cody and Christmas. The only people that I really outline that because Hayden doesn't really have a good connection with is Ian, in my opinion. And possibly Memphis. Now, because of what happened with David, Ian and Memphis are probably out as far as Tyler's circle is concerned. But Memphis is HOH now. He's not going to be HOH next week, so he doesn't have to worry about Memphis. Ian might be different. Ian may realize that Ian, if he's smart, that's what I would do. I actually would nominate Cody and Tyler and let them realize that they're occupying the same space and put it in their heads that they eventually have to go with each other. And it doesn't matter if one stays or both stays. Once you actually start turning Cody and Tyler against each other, that will buy you time to either jump on one or let them play out and stay in the background. But that being said, Tyler is playing a great game, and Tyler has some tricks up his sleeve that actually can keep him further than Cody or Memphis or any of the bros in the house. But he's still not number one in my opinion. Number one in my opinion is his most secret connection, which is with number one, Bailey. Bailey again is playing such a great social game that she really doesn't have to really turn up at all as far as competition. Make no mistake, she learned a lot from her talent. She knows how to work this competition, to make deals in competitions, and to work with people during competitions. She tried it in BB20 with that very floppy first competition that made Tyler HOH, but she learned so much. And again, she feels like she's fighting for something different. She's fighting for a black person to win. She'd rather it be Davon or her, but she probably wouldn't mind if it was David or Kevin. But that being said, that's her real goal. And when you're not fighting for legacy and when you're not fighting for money, you're fighting for something different. I'm assuming it allows her to have fun. Because if she went out, she's good. If she goes to the final two and Bailey wins, she's good. I mean, once challenge goes up, she's probably going to be invited back to the challenge. So she's still going to be doing some stuff in the challenge and will wreck shop there. So she's good. Because she, in my opinion, has the least pressure. And as far as legacy, as far as Big Brother's concerned, she is definitely 100% playing the most fun game and just having a fun time. And that might be what actually elevates her to possibly be the winner of this season. I definitely think she's going deep into this game. But like I said, right now, if you had to pick somebody today, I would definitely give it to Bailey. And that's the top of my Fantastic Four. All right, guys, so there you have it, our rankings and the highlights for the feeds yesterday. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We'll definitely still be continuing our daily live feed updates, even though, as you know, if you watch Big Brother for a long while, usually at least in the early parts of the game, Tuesday through Thursday morning and afternoon live feeds can be very slow. It's more about strategy for next week. If the nominees are pretty much set and there's no really contention about who should go or not, so we'll definitely probably, I expect to see a lot of more treading water this time. I don't think it's going to be that way next week, I will say that much. But I think Tuesday and Thursday we'll see more, the live feeds will be more about strategy and maybe more personal moments than actual the eviction vote, because I think it's pretty much set. However, we will be watching out to see if Nicole Anthony does this house meeting that she's planning to do. Hopefully, at least for her game and for her Big Brother reputation, she gets encouraged out of that. I really don't want to see it. And I know it would be good feeds, you know, team good feeds and all that. But in the end, I would not want that to happen to her. Now, there's some other people that I may want that to happen, but that's a topic for another podcast. But like I said, we'll be bringing you these feeds every day. So again, if you have not subscribed, please subscribe to the Ebony POV via Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other major podcast network. Again, we are a part of soberhomeforthat.com, so you can go to our website and see all the articles that have to do with Big Brother as well as other topics on soberhomeforthat.com. And of course, if you want to follow soberhomeforthat.com on social media, you can go to soberhomeforthat on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram, and you can see all of our blog posts and all of our content that not only is just about Big Brother, but also other things as well. So thank you so much for joining us for the Ebony POV. We'll see you next time.